Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone, from wherever and whenever you may be watching or listening to us on the Great Wide Web. This is John Morgo and the last three guys to do a podcast. We are back for another go-around here on our third edition of Coronavirus Watch, as there has still been no sports going on, with the exception of the NASCAR e-racing league that has been occurring on FS1. Again, John Morgo, Leon Brown, Daniel Bolton. We're going to be joined by Atlanta Hawks television voice and friend of the show, Bob Rathbun. He'll be coming on in a matter of moments. Can't wait for that conversation. But before Bob calls in, guys, how have you been coping for another week without any sports going on? I know NFL free agency is going full steam, but really, that's about it.
Well, the NFL free agency has given us enough to talk about.
That's true.
It's a circus out here. You know, Dak and the Cowboys have yet to get a deal done. Cam Newton has yet to have to find a team. Jameis Winston has yet to find a team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes have yet to begin, but we're going to see where that goes.
Right.
It's a little something here and a little something there still going.
I don't know if you were paying attention to the news, but Kirk Herbstreit had he's kind of like the canary in the coal mine, if you will. He had a quote this week where he stated that it is entirely possible that we will be without football in the 2020 season, that the next time football will return is in 2021, and that kind of set off alarm bells and red flags all over the league as to whether or not we would have a fall. And back when this whole thing started in February, the worst-case scenario was indeed 18 months of this, and that's kind of where Kirk's timeline is going. How worried are you guys that football is now being endangered for fall of 2020?
I'm extremely worried. This is possible, guys, and we are staring this – we're really staring the monster in his eyes right now. You know, I was talking to a coworker this past week, and he was asking me, that, you know, of course I work for Georgia State,
right,
University. So he was asking me, saying, Daniel, when do you think are we like going to come back? Like, when are we going to actually come in the office again? And I told him, I said, listen, it's not going to be this summer. I don't think it's going to be this summer,
mm-hmm,
or for the rest of this school year. I think that if anything, we would probably start off fresh and start in the fall of the school year. And it might not even go along that way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to what you were saying about football, man, it is very likely that we don't have football coming up. But that also means that we won't have basketball either.
Right.
Because if we don't have football, then that means we're going to miss another season or another half, a season and a half of basketball. And we could miss two whole seasons of baseball. So when you look at the reality of this whole thing, man,
Daniel, I apologize to cut
it.
Daniel, I apologize.
No, I'm done.
Okay, good. I apologize to cut you off. We have a special guest calling in on the last three guys to do a podcast. Mr. Bob Rathbun, are you there?
I am. How are you, John?
How are you? I'm doing well, sir. How about you? Thanks so much for joining us.
Sure. My pleasure.
You're on with Leon and Daniel. Appreciate you calling in. First off, I want to, you are the play-by-play voice of the Atlanta Hawks on the TV side. I got to ask you, sir, March 11th, a little over 2 weeks ago, you were calling the game with the Knicks at State Farm Arena. And then basically, it must have been just a bizarre situation, because basically the league is shutting down around you while you were doing that game. How unusual, what was going through your mind as you were calling this exciting game, but you were getting postponements, announcements all over the place?
It was pretty strange. There's no doubt about it. Nothing like that has ever happened. So to be on the air while it was unfolding was pretty surreal. You know, what I thought complicated our efforts was the fact that the Hawks were staging one of the most brilliant comebacks they've had in quite some time.
Yes.
Trae Young went absolutely berserk in the fourth quarter.
Indeed.
Scored 27. And while all that's going on, we're trying to get official word from the league as to what was going on.
Right.
And, you know, it was not only myself, but our producer, Joe Gossard-Cook, and all the coordinating producers, executive producers at Fox, and our boss, Jeff Gentler, were all trying to find out exactly what the story is, because the only time I could check anything was during a timeout.
Oh, I'm sure.
And we still hadn't gotten official word from the league. Now, we had seen what, I guess, Woj had put out and what ESPN had on, but we weren't going to go with anything until we could confirm it with the league. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the brilliant comeback is unfolding before us. And then we finally got word toward the end of regulation, and we put that up on the air, that the season was going to be suspended. And, of course, lo and behold, as soon as we say that, the game goes into overtime.
That must have been really unusual.
You know, then we get 5 more minutes of basketball, and then we have the Vince Carter situation unfold
right
before us. So it was a crazy, crazy night.
I'm sure it was. And the Hawks had a very, I'll just say it, kind of disappointing season. They are one game above Cleveland in terms of the worst record in the Eastern Conference. Trae Young, however, has just played out of his mind, scoring under 30 points a game. John Collins missed the first 20 games of the season. Do you think that it was that kind of disrupted the team's rhythm in this last campaign?
Oh, I don't think there's any question. You know, you lose John for a chunk of games like that, 25. That really put us behind the eight ball. And once we got it back, we really, I thought, started to play pretty consistent basketball. I think we were,
I don't know if you were
12 and 17 our last 27,
something like that. You weren't a 500 team. You were just like about a 400, 450, somewhere in that area.
I mean, from where we were,
exactly,
marked improvement. And mm-hmm. You know, we're playing young kids
and young.
Yeah, right. And Trey, but I mean, they're all 22, 21, 20 years old, which even by NBA standards is extremely young. And to think that they're going to win at that stage of their careers, probably not going to happen. Now, as the season unfolded, they got more and more experience. We learned more about them. And I thought they came along quite nicely toward the end and have set themselves up for a great off season. They got plenty of money to spend and of positions to spend it on to strengthen the bench and build a team around the young core guys. So I think they're poised to really do well here next year and in the years to come. I really do.
We're on with Bob Rathbun, TV voice of the Atlanta Hawks, here on the Last Three Guys Do a Podcast. Daniel, do you have anything for Mr. Rathbun?
I do, Bob. Hope everything is going well with you and your family during this time.
It is. Thank you. Same for you.
No problem. Thank you. Question for you. The addition of Clint Capella to Atlanta, how did you feel about that initially? Do you think that's going to help us along in the future? And do you see him staying with us like on a long-term basis?
Oh, I was all for it. Excited to get him. And yeah, he's under contract. So we've got him for the next 2 seasons after this one. So Clint's going to be around, and he's one of the cornerstones they're counting on. We're all excited and anxious to see him on the court, to see how it works out with he and John and Trey and everybody else. But yeah, I think this is a huge move for the Hawks to get a rim runner and a rebounder like this guy. You know, he had a 2020 game against us when they were here, when Houston was here. I mean, this mm-hmm. guy can play, and he's going to help us a great deal. So I'm excited about it.
I agree with that, too. I really thought that the Clint Capella move was a move that actually fit what they're doing right now in their scheme. It fit their scheme perfectly.
Yes, sir. I agree with you. And he's got a lot of talent. He's
absolutely
get this injury thing behind him mm-hmm. with the bone spur and the plantar fascia. And that may be one advantage to this layoff, is that by the time we come back, and I do believe we will, if it's late May to mid-June, somewhere in there, I would think that Capella will be ready to go. You know, we're going to have some sort of training period to get the guys going again. But mm-hmm. I would think that we'll see Capella once we resume the season.
Leon, do you have anything for Mr. Rathman?
Yes, sir. Just along the same lines of the Daniel question, Daniel kind of beat me to it. So I'm going to kind of read this a little bit. Do you see Clint Capela and the John Collins front court tandem being better than the Josh Smith and Al Horford era?
Oh, that's a good question.
That's a real good question.
You know, I think they've got a chance. I don't know what you exactly mean by as good, but
yep.
I do think they're going to be impact
better,
players.
Better.
I think they're going to be impact players. I really do. I think that, you know, they're going to do it a little differently, you know, because Clint's not like Josh was. I mean, he's just a rim runner and rebounder. He's not – and defender, obviously. But, you know, he's not going to take his game and have the unbelievable dunks and, you know, all the things that Josh could do. I think he'll be much more rim-to-rim kind of guy. Now, Collins, I think, with Capela, I think you'll see a flip. Remember last year how Dedmon developed his outside shot as the five? And Collins developed the pick and roll with Trey, sort of the roll guy. And I think you'll see that flip a bit. I think you'll see Capela be the roll guy, not every time down the floor, but some of the time. And then John, with how great he has been from the outside, you know, lurking around that three-point line more than we've seen. I mean, you got a guy in Collins now. If the season ended today, he would be right at 60% from the field, 40% from three, and 80% at the line. Not too many dudes do that.
No.
So I think this combination's got a chance to really click and really work out well together. That's why I'm so excited to see Clint on the court at some point.
I want to ask you, Mr. Rathman, about kind of a story. Brandon Goodwin, the local kid from Norcross High School, who he's kind of been shuttling back and forth between Atlanta and College Park. What does he bring to the team, and do you think he's going to be able to stick with the big club?
Well, he played himself into a full-time contract, so good. I think that the answer to your question is yes. I mean, he started on a two-way, and then we desperately needed a backup point guard. And we had to either sign him or send him to the G League for the rest of the season. And they decided to go ahead and sign him for the rest of this year. And I think he's got some guarantees for next. But he was it till Teague showed up. So this guy proved himself to be an NBA player. I think could be a very good backup going forward. And, you know, the local ties a bonus. But he's a great kid, really hustles and works hard. Very proud of what he accomplished this year.
And 90%, over 90% foul shooter, one of the best marks on the team. So he's definitely
only missed two, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he's definitely automatic from the line. Trey Young's got a lot of the oxygen in terms of press coverage and how his development is doing. But Cam Reddish has kind of been an understated story. He's kind of like the other rookie, but he's still doing pretty well, averaging double figures a game. How has his development been going?
Cam's coming on like gangbusters since the you know, the second half. You know, after say game 42, he was just been outstanding. Great two-way player. I really like the effort that he gives defensively. He's almost as tall as John Collins, and still growing. So we've really got quite an asset on our hands with Cam. And that's to take nothing away from the other young guys, but I think everybody that saw Cam over the last couple of months is nothing but impressed. Tremendous upside. He's got a chance to be a real star.
And you said you're pretty confident that we're going to have NBA basketball probably around Memorial Day. I'll just throw that target out there. There have been reports, and we started the show by talking about what Kirk Herbstreit said about college football and football in general, how there's a potential that we don't see football until 2021. So, I mean, you said you were confident about that we'll have NBA basketball. Will it be kind of like in an arena with nobody there? And is that what you kind of see happening?
You know, I think so. I think that when we get the green flag, sports is going to come back pretty quickly. And it may be without fans, particularly in some of these hot spots around the country. Your major metropolitan areas may not see it as fast as some of the other parts of the country.
Right.
But even if we play with no fans, just to get the games on TV, I think will be a tremendous boon for our country.
Oh, there's no question of that.
So our sports is so important to us at all levels, high school, college, pro, youth sports.
Mm-hmm.
Such a big part of our lives. And the faster we can get it back, I think the faster this entire healing process to get our country off its knees and back going again is a crucial part of that. And I'm optimistic. I think the basketball season will begin again. I think the fact that the Olympics were postponed opens the gate even wider for the NBA to play again through the summer,
mm-hmm.
To produce a champion, have the playoffs, and end this season. And if that means we delay the start of next year, so be it. I do think in situations like this, in sports and in business, we have to think differently.
Yes.
We can't go by the norms of the past. And if the Masters is in October, great.
Mm-hmm.
If the Kentucky Derby is in September, great. We need to just celebrate it, cherish it, and maybe we find out things work better with a different schedule. You know, all this is arbitrary.
Exactly.
There's no magic. There's no magic in a 162-game Major League Baseball season. If they play 120, great. If they play 110, that's fine. You know, it's just not that important.
What is important is
we get it going again.
We can't be wedded to, as you said, we can't be wedded to arbitrary numbers. Like a Major League Baseball season has to be 162 games. NBA season's got to be 82. Same with the NFL. I think, you know, what's important is we get out there, but we get out there safely.
Yes.
And my question to you now is, what has your day been like being homebound? I mean, do you still watch tape? Do you still review film? Do you talk to your sources throughout the league? I mean, what has things been like for you as an announcer who's closely identified with the team but just really can't get out there and do things?
Much like you guys, I think. my day-to-day routine has not changed a great deal other than being homebound.
Right.
Because I do my preparation for home games right here at home anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm home. And the only thing that's really changed is instead of the day-to-day of the NBA season or the college season, I will start working and have been working to get ready for the draft by reviewing the film, because we bring all these kids in, as you know, for workouts.
And yep.
I would, you know, maybe that won't happen this year, but at least to start the draft preparation and for the programming that we will have around the draft. So I'm just getting a little head start on that. But, you know, I think like everybody, cleaning out the office and the basement and getting the files secured and, you know, reading everything in sight that comes on and cherishing these old broadcasts and watching the games that we're replaying on Fox Sports Southeast for all of our teams,
mm-hmm.
The Braves and the United and the Hawks and other areas of our network that you all don't see here in Atlanta, but we produce out of Atlanta for Memphis and Charlotte and the Hurricanes and the
Nashville.
So it's been very exciting, you know, to watch these broadcasts, because when you're in the middle of it, you don't have a chance to see all this. And now you do. So I'm enjoying that, but I just wish it was under different circumstances.
Have you been watching the on Fox Sports, the e-racing? Have you been watching? Have you been checking that out with the NASCAR?
I did see a little bit of it. Very exciting. I mean, I think that's one sport that has translated to the NASCAR fan.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been good to see. And I think there will be other, as this thing goes on, I think you'll see other sports programming take off. They'll come up with something. People are watching more TV now because of this than ever before.
Yeah, they don't. Exactly.
They're starved for sports programming. So, you know, it takes a while to get the machinery going, but you'll see more and more sports programming that's unique and interesting and fun during this time till we get our games back.
Mm-hmm. I've been watching on the internet. I've been watching these challenges come up very often where people list things. The one that came across today is it asked people to judge stadiums, like first stadium, last stadium, best and worst. I don't know if you've seen that. Well, I can't do it because I would be mainly going through Sun Belt Conference arenas, and that would just, no one would know what the heck I was talking about. But for you, what would be your responses to this?
Okay, give me the order one more time.
It was first stadium.
That would be Fenway Park.
Okay, that's a good.
When I was a kid.
That was good. Last stadium, okay. Which I assume would be State Farm.
Yes.
Best stadium.
I think there's a difference between stadium and arena.
Okay.
I wouldn't lump them together, but yeah. Best stadium, I think that I've ever broadcast a game in, would have to be Dodger Stadium.
Oh man, that would be nice. That would be nice.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that we did really. We did opening day there a few years ago, and it was absolutely magical.
Mm-hmm.
To take nothing away, and I'm talking about visiting stadiums.
Right, right.
I mean, you're always partial to your home stadium.
And the last one, if you don't want to answer this one, that's fine. But worst.
Oh, let's see. Maybe the Vet in Philadelphia.
Okay.
That was universally panned as one of the worst of all time.
Right.
You know, back when they had the AstroTurf. I mean, you all know who Mike Dolick is.
Yes.
From ESPN. Yeah. He played on that awful carpet when he was with the Eagles, and the stories he tells about, that place, it might be number one on a lot of people's lists. But that was, from a broadcasting standpoint, it wasn't that difficult. But players would tell you that was rough.
Right.
That was like putting a piece of carpeting on the interstate and trying to play a game.
Well, my worst would be easily Kaiser University down in West Palm Beach, Florida. They put me on – basically, they put me behind the Reinhardt sideline on the 20-yard line on the field. So if the game's on the other side of the field, I have no idea what's going on. I can't tell anything. Your depth perception.
I had to do a minor league hockey game one night in the end zone in Winston-Salem.
Oh, man.
Because the telephone company put our hookup in the wrong spot. And I had to stand on a table.
Mm.
There was only one scoreboard, and that was behind me that I could not see. And when the teams were at the other end of the ice, I had no idea where they were.
Right.
So I had to be really creative with that one.
Yeah, that actually happened to me when I was doing a game for at Milton football, where we were in the end zone. Now, you were there. We were working together. I was doing stats for you during the Freedom Bowl over at Milton, and that was completely different. I was in the end zone calling it. It was for the GPB digital game, and up for the Freedom Bowl, we were actually – it was a little tight, but we got in there, no problem. It was a good game to see.
It was. A lot of fun.
Yeah. So, Mr. Rathman, we're talking with Bob Rathman here, TV voice for the Atlanta Hawks and other media institutions here on The Last Three Guys Do a Podcast. Leon, do you have anything else you want to ask him?
Mine was more so was Hawks related.
That's fine. Fair game.
Yeah. When I look at the Atlanta Hawks this year, the unfortunate thing was with John Collins. I've seen the Hawks as being like a kind of like a 2010 Oklahoma City, maybe 2009, and this is probably the brightest future I've ever seen the Hawks have. As far as with young talent. Remember like the Mike Bibby, Joe Johnson, Smooth, Marvin Williams, that era was great. But this particular era, you have a future. If all goes according to plan, Trae Young is a future Hall of Famer. All right, I see it in him already.
Yes.
I see the same thing in John Collins. He easily can be better than Kevin Willis. Easy. And then Cam Reddish can easily be better than Stacey Augustin. I don't know about Dominique, but he you know, you have the future looks bright, and I'm relating that to, you know, the 2010 Oklahoma City Thunder, who, me being a Laker fan, that was the youngest team to ever scare the heck out of me. I'm talking about just looking at it. I'm being honest. I'm talking about me being a Laker fan, and the Lakers at the time were four-time world champions. You know, Kobe led, Paul Gasol, but then you had these young guns out of OKC, led by future Hall of Famer Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, and it's like, you know, Derrick Fisher can't do anything with him. They had to put Kobe Bryant and Russell Westbrook. And when I see Russell Westbrook and I see someone like Trae Young would be a nightmare to guard for anybody in the playoffs this year.
Well, he's a nightmare for anybody to guard, period.
Exactly.
Anybody, like, period. And when I seen him, you know, it was recently, right before the season ended, he was about to make a plum fool out of Trevor Ariza, and Trevor Ariza gave him a real, you know, real vicious elbow to the throat and told him, don't ever try to put the ball between my legs like that, which I feel, you know, I didn't like that. I understood it, but I didn't like it, and I felt that some players off the Hawks team should have came through how Karl Malone should come through for John Stockton and help that man out. But saying that to say, I see that, you know, the like the Pelicans, no one wanted to see them during the playoffs. Unfortunately, they won't be making it this year. They're too far in the hole, and unfortunately also for the Hawks. But those teams right there next year for next basketball season are going to be a nightmare for the Eastern Conference. The Pelicans will be a nightmare for the Western Conference. You have to get up for them. But the Hawks next year, they're going to be a problem.
I agree.
Yeah, it is true. That is true.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm on board totally. I think, you know, there's some things that we have to do. We've got to build up the bench, no question. You know, we got to decide what we're going to do with that first-round pick.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, depending on where it falls in the lottery. And then, you know, is T going to be back or not? You know, so I think there's a lot to do. But for this club, no matter who's on it next year, for this team to make a move and be a playoff contender, they're going to have to get better defensively. And I think that's where Capella certainly will help us. But we cannot – it's hard in the NBA to outscore people every night. You know, to have to get 120, 130 points to win every night is tough. So if we can – you know, the offense is going to be there for this ball club. To get to the winning side of the ledger, we've got to play better defense consistently. Now, we have our moments, but we've got to be a better defensive team. And I think the help with Clint and the help on the bench and the natural growth of these young players will help in that regard.
Do you think that...
And that comes with age. I think what you're saying, Bob, that comes with age. If you look at the NBA right now, you know, it's a grown man. You know, when LeBron James went out to the Lakers in 2018, he had a bunch of kids on the team, and they had a problem with what? Defense. They couldn't guard anybody. You're dealing with 19-year-olds essentially guarding 27-year-olds, 28-year-olds who've been performing at the highest level of basketball for like 8, 7, 8, 9 years. So you know that's they're getting broke in. You know, they're just right. Breaking them in. Same thing to Pelicans. They're breaking them in. Same thing to Oklahoma City Thunder, who later on became a great team in 2009 and 2010. That's going to come with age. You know, I like what I've seen out the Hawks this year. You know, I've seen them winning maybe about 40 games this year, unfortunately, due to, and this is before John Collins got hurt. You know, maybe a little more. Give or take. I thought they would make the playoffs with John Collins. Not hurt, but when he got suspended.
Right.
But they'll be better next year. Oh,
right.
Yes, sir.
Oh, without question.
Question is how much better, and will the teams at their end get better too, and who in the East is actually going to get worse? Because really, you can't get better unless someone else falls down to your level, and that's unfortunately one of the truisms in life. And Bob, quick question. Do you think the Hawks should go best available or – for that first pick, best available or needs-based?
I think a lot of it depends on where it is.
Okay.
You know, if we pull number one, then you could dictate either, of those scenarios, or you could contemplate trading the pick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think it's a little premature to ask that question, but I understand it. But I just think it's a little early in the game yet. We don't even know if we're going to finish.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
that's true.
We have no idea when the draft's going to be, what the lottery situation is going to be. So we got to get answers to all that before we can start thinking about you know, who we might take. Plenty of time for that.
Yeah, exactly. It looks like it's going to be at least another month, at least April, toward the end of April, before things calm down and before hopefully calm down and before we do indeed get answers to all these questions about, you know, whether or not we'll actually have sports in some facility in some form or another. And like I said, we're just running into that doomsday scenario of college football and pro football in 2020. And hopefully this does not happen, but you know, it is a possibility and we need to at least recognize it. Daniel, do you have anything else?
No, I'm actually good.
Okay, I'm good too. Mr. Rothman, thank you so much for joining us here in the last three guys do a podcast. Keep your head up, keep producing those videos you with your dogs. What you you foster pooches during this time?
Yes, my wife runs a rescue called Rescue Me Georgia.
Okay.
And we had a couple of fosters here a couple of days ago, and we just had a little fun with the old ball machine out in the backyard. So
yeah, I saw that video. Yeah, that's actually a very good thing to do, is foster a dog or a cat during this time.
Well, I got to stay sharp. You know, it doesn't do me any good to practice my free throws, so I got to practice my play-by-play.
Exactly, exactly, exactly.
Hey, I got one more question for Bob.
Okay, shoot.
Okay.
One more question. Hey, Bob, this might have been about 6 years ago. I mean, I guess it's an alleged incident that actually happened. Was it true that while you and Dominique Wilkins were in the booth calling the game, that a gentleman tried to approach Dominique about a delinquent dry cleaning bill? and Dominique ended up, he ended up going 1985 on him?
Yeah, that was a long time ago, and it was post-game. It did not happen on the air.
Oh, good.
But, yeah, that did happen. and Dominique was in the right. The other guy was in the wrong. And it was kind of weird what happened. But, yeah, we were off the air when all that happened.
Well, that's good. That's good. Well, life in the broadcast booth, huh, Bob?
That's right. Exactly.
Well, hopefully we'll get you in the broadcast booth before too long, either doing the Hawks or maybe hanging out with GPB or the Freedom Bowl game, which was not GPB, it was Flow Sports. No, that I don't remember. It was weird. And doing some Georgia State stuff as well. So appreciate you spending the time here on the last three guys do a podcast. Appreciate, as
guys,
always, you being here.
Okay, guys.
Thank you so much, Bob.
Stay home.
Thanks, you. You too, Mr.
All right, Bob.
You too.
Okay. Thanks, Bob.
All right, that was Bob Rathbun, play-by-play voice of the Atlanta Hawks here on the Last Three Guys Do a Podcast. Guys, we were talking before he called in about the NFL doomsday scenario, whether or not we would have college football or pro football in 2020, and it is a very big possibility that cannot be ignored, and I know we don't want to have this virus disrupt our daily lives, but the sooner we let it do that, the sooner we let it disrupt our lives, is the sooner we can all get back to normal. And I think I speak for all of us when I say that we don't want football to go away in 2020. We want to get back to normal as soon as possible, but the only way for that to happen is if we follow the recommendations of our health officials and our local authorities. The stay-at-home orders are in place just about everywhere in the metro Atlanta area and all big metro areas. In fact, Mr. Rathbun was saying that maybe areas that aren't as hard hit by the coronavirus might get underway a little bit sooner. And if that's the case, looks like maybe Salt Lake City and the Jazz would be the place where we're going, because honestly, that is probably the smallest population center in the NBA, and hopefully we can, you know, get going. But really, it's up to the virus, and it, to a lesser extent, it's up to us for how long this is going to take and whether or not we can get back underway either in a matter of weeks on the optimistic side, or matter of months or a full year before this can happen. And I think it's just got to keep our heads. And as Ms. Rathman said, adopting a dog or a cat, great way to basically keep yourself sane, especially if you live alone like I do during this time period. Also, we can teleconference. Like I said, we're over on Facebook Live, or I'm on my Facebook Live page. I haven't gotten any problems with it. Oh, wait a minute, got a notification. Let's see what this is. Oh, sister, one of my people are watching it. Sister Judith Diane, watching this. So appreciate that. So that's where we stand right now here on The Last Three Guys Do a Podcast. Daniel Bolton, Leon Brown here. So Daniel, you were talking before Mr. Rathman called about the NFL doomsday scenario and where you see it heading.
Yeah, but you know what? When Mr. Rathman came on, and after he said what he said and how he feels and how he got optimistic about,
yes, that's the sense I got to. That's the whole sense I got from it.
Right, and it kind of makes you change your mind.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of makes you change your mind about the whole thing. Didn't really think about the whole pushing back the Olympic factor in order for the NBA to kind of start doing what it needs to do. You know, I didn't really take that into consideration. I just took it as if, you know, of course the Olympic trials will be starting like around this time everywhere, as far as boxing,
mm-hmm.
Gymnastics, swimming, track and field. I think track and field start theirs in like June or July, which is almost around the time as the World Championship. So, you know, now that I think about it, we may have something. I mean, we don't know. But the least of our worries, I think the worst case scenario would be 2021.
Right.
And we really just start everything over, and we just start. We can start with baseball, because baseball would begin first. You start with baseball, that goes on the first weekend in April, of course, mm-hmm. and then you got your Olympics, and then you start with the NBA and the NHL and of course the NFL. So, the NFL and college football would be first.
Yeah, college football would be first.
But then it'll be, right, that'll come before the NBA and the NHL. So, I mean, to be on that level, I think that that's where things should go. Of course, you see in the Kentucky Derby, like Bob said, it's back all the way to September, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I believe you said September. The Masters.
Masters in October, postponed. Kentucky Derby in September. Well, they hope to put the Masters in October. That hasn't been formally announced yet. We're just waiting until we get.
Yet.
We're just waiting for the go ahead, really, to put things together. And the interesting thing, the unspoken thing about what you're saying is, if college football does go away for 2020, what does that mean for everybody's draft status? Does Trevor Lawrence get that year, or is Trevor Lawrence going to play his third year in 2021? What does this mean for the classmen issues? What does it mean for scheduling? Do we just skip that whole 2021 season and go to 2022? Or do we just push everything back a year? I mean, there are just a lot of the logistics involved in canceling the whole season. Now, pro football probably would run the 2020 season in 2021, simply because there's not that contracts made, because that's the league who sets the schedule. You know, what makes college football interesting is because you got contracts between leagues and individual schools. Like Notre Dame is supposed to go to play Navy in Dublin, Ireland. Does that trip suddenly get canceled, or you know, do we just skip ahead? And that is something that, at least for college athletes, it's just, as we said, we're just in uncharted territory. But right now, we have to focus on what we can control. And right now, that is staying home and obeying your local guidelines of health officials. Because, like I said, I don't think anyone really has the answer for this. And I know,
I don't think so.
And I know spring sport athletes are kind of in the same boat, because they are gone, and we only got like maybe half of the season for softball, baseball, maybe a third of the season, do those athletes get that year back, or do they just, you know, because if you're a senior, you know, and you're, or a graduate student, and you know, you're done, and you didn't get the whole experience. So, like I said, we don't know, but really, we have to focus on getting healthy first, stopping the spread of this virus. That is, should be everyone's number one priority. Number two, of course, is monitoring, monitoring the NFL, because as Bob says, it's just a great distraction. And I think we really didn't know how much of a great distraction it was until we're living without it. So everyone is saying, we're all in this great boat together. Just take care of each other and try to stay safe. So yeah, we don't, like I said, this is all uncharted territory. There are a lot of questions. I think the NFL would just, you know, move everything, but push everything back a year. It'd be easier with the NFL. You hear major MSL soccer, they want to still play their 34 match schedule. I don't see how they can do that. NBA coming back, but with no fans in the arena. But you have to make sure that each player on your team does not have the virus when that person comes in. And I think that'll have to be the first step. And of course, NHL, I haven't heard anything about what they're going to do. And, you know, no, like I said, no one really knows. And it is, you could be right, Daniel. It could be that the 2020 season is just a lost season, and we'll just pick it up again with Major League Baseball. Football again.
Yeah, I mean, right. And, I mean, if you just want to do it that way, you know, just so that it wouldn't be so much confusing, because, I mean, think about the NBA right now. I mean, you're going to go in into June. If you possibly come back within May or June, mm-hmm. and you don't come back with a playoffs, like, I think if you're going to come back in May or June, start the playoffs.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that you probably would be the smart. I think that'd be the smart move.
We can have a 2-week training camp just to get everybody's legs fresh and mm-hmm. doing what they need to do. Whatever. You start with that, and then you just go straight into it, because remember, October rolls around. First weekend, the last week of the NBA season, of October, is when the NBA starts.
Exactly.
So now you take away that off season, because face it, it's a 2-month playoff.
Mm-hmm.
That starts from April to June originally. So if you started us in June, that means the playoffs don't end until August.
Well, I would make everything best out of five. I would just junk the whole best out of seven thing.
Or go back to the best out of five. Yeah.
Best out of five.
Jump into the best out of five situation. Yeah.
That's one way to do it. And you're right. Let's go straight to the playoffs, because I think we can all agree that Cleveland's not going to get in. New York's not going to get in. I think the playoff teams are pretty much set at this juncture. And I think even getting those 17 games in, or 16, 17 games, is not going to change a heck of a lot.
It's going to be very interesting for all those, you know, for the people who are actually banking on a summer league, you know, because you have a lot of overseas players and, you know, a lot of undrafted college players
mm-hmm.
that, you know, they're really relying upon summer league to get their chance to, you know, to get their chance at the league, or at least to audition themselves for G League team or overseas team. You know, our summer league is huge. And, you know, it's not going to be there. You know, after these kids get drafted, for, you know, especially for those who got drafted in the late first rounds and the second round, the summer league is really, you know, that's really the chance to find those diamonds in the rough. You know, if it wasn't for the summer leagues, you wouldn't know who Draymond Green is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it's like, this has really derailed. I don't want to sound like, you know, doom and gloom, but this has really derailed professional sports that we know.
It's derailed everything.
Man, you got to look at the football season, this training during the summertime, that's when you get the rhythm, you get to know one another. I mean, this is interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Like, we got to hit the reset button.
Exactly. It just exactly.
And a lot of states' economies that are relying on, you know, imagine a state like Missouri or Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Crimson Tide or the SEC is a big part of the economy of Alabama.
Well, think about a state like Nevada that is so reliant upon gambling and sporting event and betting on sporting events. I mean, basically, what you're betting on now is how many people will get arrested for violating curfew. So a state like that, you know, they're having a little bit of a controversy. The governor has ordered the casinos closed for 30 days, and the mayor's looking at him like, no, make it 15. Because, you know, they are just, that is the bread and butter of that state. And we really think that we can just put a pause on everything. And unfortunately, bills still have to get paid. And that's really the kind of the problem right now. Bills still have to get paid, and people they're at their job. Yeah, they are working, but, you know, what about the people who are getting laid off? We are really in this unprecedented time. You want to compare it to 9/11, but 9/11, we knew what things were going to come back. This time, we just don't know when things are coming back or if they even will.
Right. On an economical base, I think you can possibly compare it to it, but on a social platform, this is incomparable, especially with the rise of social media that we have, Facebook and Instagram, and just the rise of just things that are happening with all over the state. I mean, you have nightclubs, especially in Atlanta. I mean,
well, Atlanta's
nightclubs, restaurants, party life. I mean, that is all gone right now.
Mm-hmm.
That is done for. I mean, you come here, you have to be ready to be out and about in the streets. And now, with the pandemic that is happening in this coronavirus thing, it has really taken a toll on a lot of businesses, especially a lot of local restaurants. And I think we mentioned that last week too. That once this thing gets back going, we have to start supporting the local restaurants because the local businesses rather, they're taking a huge hit.
You could still order curbside service, and that's about the only thing I can recommend.
Yes.
I did that on the way home. See, I have been deemed critical to the economy, so basically it's a get out of jail free card. I can skip any curfew roadblocks that are presented my way, but I only live 5 miles away from where I work, so it's really not a big of a deal. And of course, the big irony is we haven't seen gas prices this low in about 25, 30 years. I can't remember the last time I filled my car up for less than $20, and that happened last week. And the big irony is, yes, it's low, but we can't do anything with it. It's kind of the big irony. So let's get back. We're kind of wandering off topic here. Leon, I want to ask you, you said the NFL free agency was still going on. My question to you is, Chargers quarterback, has there been any news about who the Bolts are going to try to get to lead their squad whenever we start playing again?
I mean, as it stands right now, we're going with Tyrod Taylor for right now. It's rumbling that we could possibly be drafting a quarterback, though I can't see how that makes any sense. Especially if you have someone like Cam Newton out there. I can't see how that could, you know, I can't see how that could possibly, you know, if I'm the Chargers right now, I'm on the phone with Cam Newton and Antonio Brown. I'm bringing my West. Straight up. You live in, I mean, if I'm the Chargers, you are competing in the second largest market in the Western Hemisphere.
Right.
You have to put yourself in a position to win, and you want to put yourself in a position where you have stars around you. Heck, you're in the same city as LeBron James. You're in the same city as the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
For God's sake, you're in the same city as the Clippers. You gotta bring somebody you gotta bring somebody in. You have to.
Yes.
And right now you have Antonio Brown and Cam Newton available. I mean, this deal should have been made like 2 weeks ago.
You also have Jameis Winston available.
Yeah, we got Jameis in. I'm taking Cam.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have Jameis Winston available. It's true, but we just got rid of the interception machine. And I like Jameis. You know, but, you know, we got, you know, I mean, we just got rid of a 2020 guy. So, you know, I don't, you know, with all due respect, I like Jameis. I believe he needs to put in the right offense. I believe that Jameis Winston, you know, him throwing 50 passes a game is just not going to get you any type of numbers. I mean, he needs a right. You need to bounce out your offense. I mean, get that man some runners around him. But I'm looking for, if we were to land Antonio Brown and Cam Newton, or heck, Antonio Brown and Jameis.
Yeah.
Something's got to, you know, I'll take that.
Yeah, you need Antonio Brown.
And Jameis Winston. You need Antonio.
Right. You need that. Well, you need Antonio to basically behave is what you need for Antonio. And it seems like he's saying the right things, that he will behave. But you really need to get him in camp to find out basically what's going on in his head. That's the thing with Antonio.
If I'm the Chargers, crazier people have played in the NFL.
Oh, no question. But there's crazy, you know, and there's disruptive. I can handle the crazy. Yeah. It's the disruptive that I can't handle.
Yeah, and Antonio Brown has definitely. I mean, I remember one time when I was watching. You know, this man was sitting here recording Mike Tomlin's halftime speech on Facebook Live or Instagram Live or something.
Uh-huh.
I mean, goodness gracious! And it's like they didn't want to say too much to him because he's Antonio Brown, and he understood that. And then the whole last summer thing. I mean, you know, but I'm going to take that chance if I'm, you know, as far as us being the Chargers. You know, last year we were like we won less than seven games. You know, we're at a state of negative elevation where we could go nowhere but up at this point.
Uh-huh.
And bringing in someone like Cam Newton, who has star power, and then bringing in Antonio Brown, who has even more star power, after losing Phillip Rivers, after losing Melvin Gordon, I mean, that's what the team needs. That's what the team needs. You got to fit in L.A. You can't just it's going to look real bad if we don't land a heavy free agent piece this summer. It's going to look horrible.
Now, have you...
Here's my thing about it. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go, Daniel. You go.
So here's my thing about that. First off, I think you guys are right. With the Antonio Brown situation, of course, with both guys, there are questions that people are going to have to ask. And one with Antonio Brown is, are you ready to play football? Are you still ready to grab? Are you still an attention grabber?
Yes.
Like, are you still ready to – are you still on that whole – I got to be on social media, I got to be on Facebook Live, I got to be on Instagram Live, I got to do this and that and the foot. But are you ready to come and play football in L.A.? Like, are you really ready to do this? And this is just from a Chargers standpoint, really from any teams. I mean, I think every team has to ask that question. And for Cam Newton, listen, as good as he's been, I mean, this guy won the MVP award, I think, in 2015 or 16, the year that Carolina went to the Super Bowl that year and won 15 games. Is he healthy? Like, is his arm good? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, because that was the problem he had last year, was that he couldn't throw. And it clearly showed that he wasn't healthy. He just didn't have that step or whatnot. Or maybe he was just ready to get out of Carolina, although he said he wasn't.
He might have been.
That's one. That's it, right. And that's another thing. And mentally, and this is, like, the biggest question of all. Are you mentally ready to do this? Like, are you mentally prepared to lead another team? Like, is the second phase of Cam Newton going to be one that we'll never forget? Like, or is it going to be forgettable?
Like,
I think that's what you're saying. And yeah, you're right, because to me, in my opinion, he is the best quarterback out there, and the Chargers need a quarterback.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Chargers need a quarterback and a running back. So, yes. Well, not really. I think Austin Eckler. No, you're right.
Yeah, and Leon, have you haven't heard anything about where the Chargers are looking at in terms of the draft? Will they go quarterback, running back, best available? What have you seen anything of their mindset heading into this NFL draft? Leon?
Excuse me?
Have you heard anything about what the Chargers are thinking going into this NFL draft? What they're looking at, quarterback, running back, best available? Have you heard what their mindset is, what their strategy is in this NFL draft?
No, I haven't. I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard anything that just makes you want to stand out and just jump off the roof.
I think
of that nature.
I think what we're wanting is for the Chargers and everybody really is to let us know what their strategy is. And it just seems to me that the Chargers really don't have a strategy.
That's what I'm thinking.
Or if they have one, they're playing it very close to the vest, and they're not really telling anybody what it is.
No, I think you got it right the first time. It's like, you know, or it might be a combination of both. But I'm thinking, see, we're in a position not quite as good, but it kind of reminds you of the Brooklyn Nets before the season starts. And Cam Newton is our Kevin Durant, in which Kevin Durant just suffered a major injury the year before.
Right.
And the Nets snatched him up anyway, because that's Kevin Durant. You got to take that chance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you look at someone like Cam Newton, to Daniel's point, how healthy is he? I don't care. He's Cam Newton. We got to bring him in. We got to bring him in, because at the end of the day, before Cam was hurt, that man was 6-2. The year before that, he was in the playoffs. Then the year before that, he went 2-whatever. I have my theories about that. I believe he suffered a major backlash from the NFL for gabbing his way all the way to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
You know, because that was the same year in 2016. That, you know, it was a big concussion protocols, and I've never seen anybody take so many hits to the head and the referees not call anything. And it was we all seen it. And the referees are calling nothing. And as if the NFL was doing him like, you know, like the Major League Baseball people, they were throwing at him.
Yes.
They were literally throwing at him for pretty much embarrassing people. I mean, he was out there embarrassing people. He went 15-1, dabbing, running it in. I mean, he was just having a grand time. So, saying that to say, we need to take that chance. That's someone who you don't pass on 6'5", 250 pounds.
No.
A quarterback of winning football. You don't pass on that. We need that over here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then on Antonio Brown. I don't care how crazy he is. You don't pass on that. Hey, well, you know, for that's reminiscent of the Dennis Rodman era when, you know, everybody knew how crazy Dennis Rodman was during the 90s.
Uh-huh.
Oh, everybody knew. He was crazy. You know, he never introduced the police, though. So, you know, none of that. But everybody knew he's a bit of an eccentric personality. The Bulls brought him in anyway. They brought him in anyway. Oh yeah. So I'm thinking, you know, if I'm the Chargers, you have nowhere to go but up, right? There's nowhere to go.
Well,
you have an incumbent head coach right about the minute who has a little bit of job security, just a little bit. And if I'm that coach, I'm bringing. Hey, we bring him in.
Mm-hmm.
We bring both of those guys, and I'm trying to keep my job.
Well, I think the Chargers, they're sharing the division with the Chiefs, and when you're sharing the division with the Chiefs, the only thing that might be attainable is the wild card, and boy, aren't you glad you got that extra playoff position this season to that 17. So really 9-10 wins might be enough to get in there, but you're not going to – I don't think you're going to beat the Chiefs to win the AFC West.
John and Daniel, you further make my point. You need to bring Cam Newton in. You're in the same division with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
We're in the same division as the Chiefs.
That's right.
And the Chiefs aren't going anywhere.
No, Patrick.
They're not going anywhere. These guys are young.
That they are.
You gotta
bring they might win it again next year.
Oh, I think they're definitely on the short list. They're definitely on the short list for that. Yeah. Mahomes is just getting into the prime of his career. So, yeah, as long as he doesn't get hurt, yeah, you got to look at the Chiefs as being the odds-on favorite.
Yes, you have to bring that. If I'm the Chargers, you're in the same division as the Chiefs. You have to compete with that. And you don't want to be worse than Denver.
No.
The year before last, you were 12-4 in a Super Bowl contender. And then you just fell from grace.
Yep.
And lost your starting running back.
Mm-hmm.
And the head coach, of course, you know, he was given a pass, you know, when things went wrong, Phil Rivers told him to write a letter and blame me.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. He blamed Phil Rivers the first time. Phil Rivers is gone.
Can't blame Phil Rivers again.
Years old. Yeah, you can't blame him this time. Now it's like when things go wrong, you write another letter.
Yeah.
To your successor.
Exactly.
And tell him the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be pressuring management. You got to bring Cam Newton in. You got to bring Antonio Brown in. Because you're not just competing with the Chiefs. You're competing with the Lakers. You're competing with the Clippers. You're competing with the Dodgers. You're competing with the Rams.
And the Angels.
And the Angels.
And the Angels, that's right.
And the Kings. And the Ducks.
And
Los Angeles FC. The Galaxy. UCLA, Southern Cal.
Yeah. Oh, man, you're going to rub it in, aren't you? You're going to rub it in.
I mean, it's true, though.
Yeah, it's true.
Just rub it in. The Chargers are looking like the unwanted foster child. And a team full of – think about it. You're in a market where all those teams are homegrown for the most part. The L.A. Rams, even though they had a short stint in St. Louis, is a homegrown team for the most part.
For the most part.
The Dodgers been there – the Dodgers been – all those teams that you've seen that were just mentioned – has been in that market for over 25 years.
Right.
Over 25 years.
Right.
And most part, 30 years. So we're talking about that's a family.
Mm-hmm.
And you come at the Chargers, the foster kids, the unwanted foster kids. No one in L.A. wanted the Chargers up there. No one.
No.
And I'm going to let you guys know, the Chargers being in L.A., Daniel and John, it's like the Saints moving to Atlanta.
Ugh. Yuck.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember last year, I remember Daniel was like, I hope the Saints don't make this Super Bowl. I don't need that.
Yeah.
You know, you ain't like the Saints even coming here. You ain't like them even coming here, like, let alone having to. Imagine if the Saints would have moved to Atlanta. That would be disgusting. That's how it is right now with the Chargers being up in L.A. right now for people in L.A. That was a horrible move by the Spanos family. And they justified it to themselves saying, well, most of our fan base comes from Orange County. Dude, that's because they're from San Diego and they just have to live in Orange County.
Right.
They're coming down for the games, though. Everybody wants to root for their city. People in San Diego, I mean, granted, I'm a lifelong Charger fan, so I don't know anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody wants to root. If you're from San Diego, you're not rooting for L.A., you're rooting for San Diego. So it's just, you know, it's a bit awkward, but at the same time, I need my team to do well. I still want my team to do well. You know, we need to make that move. That move needs to be made. They need to come to the phone, they need to make that happen. I'm pretty sure they are. But if I'm speaking on it with this much urgency, I'm pretty sure the front office is too. It just hasn't made the news like that, but I'm pretty sure things are in the works.
All right, well, we'll probably have to just leave it there for a minute, for a week, here on The Last Three Guys Do a Podcast. We normally open it up to things you may have missed, but there's really not much going on here in the world of sports, just NFL free agency, really, and we'll see whether
or not. I have a letter for you guys.
All right, go ahead.
I have a letter. I'll have one. I'll have an essay for you guys the next couple of weeks. Next week's essay will, I've been saying I was going to do this. Because WrestleMania is next week, I figure I'd write something about the XFL and why this time Vince McMahon got it right. And then the following weekend, I actually got this post on Facebook to list the top 10 heavyweights of all time. So, and they had provided the 10 heavyweights for me. So the week after that, you'll get my top 10 heavyweights of all time.
Okay.
In boxing.
Sounds good.
All right. Oh, yeah, that'd be a great discussion. Yeah, that'd be a great discussion.
All right. We'll be looking forward to it. Thanks so much for our guest, Bob Rathbun, for joining us here in the Last Three Guys Do a Podcast, talking Hawks, talking what he's doing during this forced layoff, talking what he thinks might happen in the future. So in the meantime, for Leon Brown and Daniel Bolton, I'm John Morgo. Stay safe out there. We're all in this together. And hopefully we can, if we come together, band together, we'll come out on the other side better, stronger, and more resilient than when we went in. So thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you in 7 days. This has been The Last Three Guys to Do a Podcast.